Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got any ideas that will work to help your favorite teams? Let them know about it by calling 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, let's get it, man. Inside the 8 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York, Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking calls and talking sports. It's that simple. 888-808-1019. Obviously, Pete Alonso conversation is in the air. Roky Sasaki conversation is in the air. And now we've started to talk a little more football on this Football Friday. I started to give you a little bit of my thoughts on these spreads. You don't need to win by 9 points. You don't need to win by 10 points. It's the playoffs. It's to advance to the championship round. You need to win by one. So for me, I'm not really looking to bet these spreads. I will maybe put together one or two parlays with just the money line winners. I think it's pretty easy to pick the four. And I think I'm leaning towards the home teams. I'm leaning towards the teams with rest. I'm leaning towards teams with experience that have done it before. 888-808-1019. Gabe is in Teaneck on The Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Keith. I just wanted to give a take on the Ravens and Bills. And honestly, Keith, I don't think it's really crazy to say that. Like, I don't want to look too much into the future here, but if Lamar and Co. can end up going all the way to the Super Bowl and winning it, I think that might be one of the greatest playoff runs by a quarterback in the history of the NFL. Because if you look at it, he already conquered his demons with Pittsburgh, team that's given him trouble all throughout his career. Going into Buffalo, avenging that 2021 divisional loss, and then going into Arrowhead, avenging last year's loss in the AFC Championship. I don't think it's crazy to say that, Keith.
No, it's not crazy. He might potentially do this without Zay Flowers, his number one wide receiver, Pro Bowler this year. He might do this in a year where right now he's about to go head-to-head with Josh Allen and potentially win his third MVP. If he knocks off Josh Allen en route to that, like goes into Buffalo and does that, they're also battling for rushing yards. As it stands right now, Josh Allen has 609 postseason career rushing yards, which is most all-time by a quarterback. Lamar's at 602. I guarantee you Lamar's going to pass him. That's going to be something that they intend on doing. This is it for Lamar. Like, Lamar cannot mess this up. I think there will be more grace for Josh Allen if this team loses. Lamar has Derrick Henry now. Lamar might win his third MVP now. Lamar, after last year, losing to Mahomes where they abandoned the run, I think we need to see that matchup of the Ravens versus the Chiefs. But I don't know. There's another part of me saying that Josh Allen is hard to stop, and he might just will them to victory, especially if the elements come into play. But I'm right there with you, Gabe, as far as Lamar Jackson's legacy. This guy's a Hall of Famer. He's different. He's one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. Not bad for a running back. This guy's talking about, this is something I don't like. He's talking about changing his number. I feel like he put a bad omen out there as far as saying if they win the Super Bowl, he's going to change his number from 8 to 1. Obviously, he's on his, you know, Black Mamba, Kobe mentality type thing, how Kobe retired 8 and put on 24. I hate that he put that out there. I would have just kept that quiet until I did it. and then do it. But yes, I'm rooting for Lamar Jackson. He's got so many critics. The only thing left for him to do is advance and get it done in the playoffs. Three MVPs and no appearance in the Super Bowl. He's got to get there this year.
Yeah, and like another thing, just one more thing I wanted to add on was that I don't really like the whole discourse about how Derrick Henry is like, you know, opening up so many, well, he is opening up so many opportunities for Lamar, but we also have to look at it the other way. Lamar is also helping and like helping Derrick Henry create all these opportunities by, you have Lamar going one way, you have Derrick Henry going the other. I just don't like how it's all like, oh, Derrick Henry's the MVP. Derrick Henry's the reason why Lamar is having such a career.
I don't know who's saying that. I think we noticed the difference between, you know, last year when they had Dalvin Cook. They had like five different running backs, Gus Edwards, Mitchell, Justice Hill. You know, there's just a big difference. Dobbins went down. I don't know who's saying that Henry's the MVP anymore. Maybe early in the year, some people were giving him the nod as a offensive player of the year, but nah, I mean, even with Saquon out rushing him, what I think is it's pick your poison, and we all can see the threat that King Henry, the way King Henry ran last week, that made me say, okay, who stops them? Who stops that combo? Like, if he's running like that, stiff-arming people from Saturday into Sunday, like, who is stopping that? Thanks for the call, Gabe. I'll say this, too. When I say it's pick your poison, they can line Derrick Henry up behind the center, direct snap the ball to him, and off he goes. They can motion Lamar out, and you got to respect that. You don't want them throwing Lamar a little tunnel screen or something, or you don't know what's going to come, so... You know, I look at this Ravens offense, especially when they go too tight, two tight ends, and they have, you know, Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, which they're doing more now because, I mean, how much do you want to depend on Nelson Aguilar? He'll be out there, but, like, you're not really targeting him. Rashad Bateman is their main receiving threat. Like I said, they don't have Zay Flowers. It's the run game. It's the run game. It's the run game. And can the Buffalo defense stop the run? I don't know. We're about to see. But I look at Josh Allen and how many ways he can get after you, running the ball, throwing the ball, making plays. Cook as well. As we're talking about the pick your poison with Henry and Lamar, it's the same thing with Allen and Cook. Both those guys are tough to stop. And then they get rid of Stephon Diggs and pick your poison. Any one of those receivers and tight ends can get going. Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox. It doesn't matter. Like, man, I should have bet Curtis Samuel anytime touchdown last week, but I didn't think there was a chance. I didn't think he'd get enough snaps. Of course, he houses the one opportunity he really gets. Mac Hollins is going to show up with no shoes on. They're going to try and get him the ball. Khalil Shakir, he's one of the leaders in yak yards. Like, they have some guys over there. Who else am I forgetting? Oh, Keon Coleman. They have some guys over there that can hurt you, but, you know, you got to look at the weather. And none of us can predict the weather right now, but I think the weather certainly helps the Buffalo Bills. It's their home stadium, and I don't know if you've seen the plans for their new stadium. They have like built-in heat lamps. They have like wind protection. There's all these like state-of-the-art things that are going to be in Highmark Stadium, the new one that they're going to launch in 2026. But I'm trying to find what they're talking about, like the lake effects. And what the weather's going to be. I'll put a pin in that one. We'll get back to the conversation around the weather in that game. But I'm still not sure which way I'm going. Something tells me that, like, the Bills at home can get it done, but something also tells me that it's going to be too hard to stop Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry if those guys are fresh and healthy and running downhill. 888-808-1019. Richie's in Queens. What's up, Richie? You're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's up?
You know, hosting the show.
Yeah, you always host me. And you know what? You got a lot of good subjects. You know, it's obvious that Alonzo's gone. My Giants are looking to play. By the way, I'm getting so tired that the evil empire has now switched from the East Coast to the West Coast. You know, I'm a Giants fan.
Yeah.
It's like these guys are just signing everybody. And you know what? I guess jealousy comes into it. If you can do it, why not? You know, look at their pitching rotation. You know, Ohtani starts to pitch. This kid looks like the real deal. You get Glasnow back. Obviously, Yamamoto, they look like the class of the league, win 150 games. Who knows? 150 and 12. How's that? Maybe we'll shoot for that. A couple of things, Keith, too. Like, you mentioned the gambling. I haven't gambled in 25 years. Gambled quite a bit as a kid. I just know when I hear people say stories about the gambling, can you believe, can you believe? I said, guys, this is what the gambling is. Of course you can believe. You know, I couldn't do it. All I needed was a field goal in the last hour and a half. Two balls hit the goalpost, it kicked out. I would have been over. I would have been under. This is what it's all about. You play the game, you either enjoy it, keep it under control, or it beats you and you get really hurt by it.
Yeah,
go ahead. I
was going to give a plug to Hello, My Name is Craig. If you listen to this radio station on Saturday and you hear Hello, My Name is Craig, and some of those people's stories, it'll get you to delete some of those apps and move on as well.
Well, Keith, if we ever meet in person, I don't want to get into it because I was part of that crew and part of that organization. And maybe I could tell you some stories too, but I don't want to get onto it on the air. But it's devastating, and it took a while for me to bounce back. But I'm glad to be back with the norm and enjoy this stuff without getting hurt. But you know, with the NFL this weekend, I was thinking. You know, Daniels was playing with they sold house money and expected to lose, but it could be a tough game, but I don't expect them to win that game. And you know what's sad with the two quarterbacks? Like you mentioned Lamar, who I love, and I love Allen. One, somebody's got to lose. Somebody's got to lose. So, you know, I mean, you could say about Lamar with the three MVPs, probably win another one. If you look at stats, he should get it again. And Allen, too, is another one under the gun. When is he going to win? You know, although with 13 seconds to go, it looked like he was going to get in there. But the bottom line is, you just want both of them to play well. You know, if one doesn't play well, then it's going to be, look, this guy cannot win the big game. But the bottom line is, somebody's got to lose that game. And if it doesn't fall in the quarterbacks, you could say, wow, what a great game. What two great quarterbacks. And it's not, it doesn't, it, obviously, if you don't win, you lose. The lust is not there of winning, but you just don't want to embarrass yourself and say, and people say, look, you know, he can win during the regular season, but they didn't show up. If you show up and lose and you play a great game, hey, that's what makes, you know, that's what makes sports so wonderful. Always a pleasure, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Richie. And you know, one day I know I'm going to grow up and grow out of the gambling, cut your losses. You know, it is an epidemic right now. In a few years, there are going to be way more stories, and there's going to be way more stories about young people, kids, that gambled away their money, their parents' money, because of how easy it is. You can just connect a debit card, credit card, PayPal. Like, it's crazy how much money is tossed into these sports books. 888-808-1019. And yes, you know, Allen versus Jackson being the Sunday night football game at 6:30, they're expecting it to be around the teens, 15 to 18 degrees that night. And I found my notes from coming in here on Monday. They're expecting it to be well below freezing, and it'll feel like -3 degrees with the wind. Lake snow effect warning for Highmark Stadium. And then even with Philly, they're expecting some snow. Saquon Barkley was talking about playing in the snow and asking Shady McCoy for advice because he's had some legendary snow games, and there's snow expected to start around 2:30 in the afternoon on Sunday. The game starts at 3, so I don't know if that's going to necessarily be a snow game unless the snow is really coming down. But in that setting, Matt Stafford, who played his career in a dome in Detroit and now in L.A., all I've read all week is negative things about Matt Stafford playing outdoors, playing outside, and how you bet against him. And I would, just because the Eagles are at home. It's a tough place to play anyway. The run game of the Eagles, the offensive linemen that the Eagles have, the defensive linemen that the Eagles had. I did say I was going to pull up the injury report. I think it should be noted that the Eagles will be without N'Kobe Dean. And, you know, the Eagles have been struggling looking for linebackers for years. And Zach Bond had a banner year this year moving a linebacker. But from what I was reading, N'Kobe Dean is the guy that calls out all their signals, and he's not going to be able to go this week. So you got to look at, like, Kyren Williams, the running back from the Rams, and even Puka Nacua takes some handoffs. How are they going to be able to run the ball out there if it's freezing cold and maybe even snowy conditions. I lean towards Saquon. I lean towards just them feeding Saquon. Hurts even running the ball. They already were struggling to pass the ball. There's already some issues with A.J. Brown. I'm kind of leaning towards the Eagles in the elements and the Bills in the elements, but I expect it to be a classic. I expect it to be back and forth with the Bills game and just who has the ball last. And as we saw earlier this year when it was the Bills versus the Chiefs, how did the Bills win that game? They had the call game, not give the ball back to the Chiefs, and Josh Allen had a house call, just ran it in for the win. Chris is in White Plains. What's up? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
I don't know if you remember me, but I called about Lou Fasillo. I played high school ball down by you in Ocean County about a month ago. But I'm tired about baseball, man. I need to get into football. I think I'm on the other side of this Texans game. I think they can really go in there and upset the Chiefs and upset the apple cart. I would love it if Baltimore and Buffalo was the championship game because, I mean, I think Detroit's going to be able to take the Eagles out and get in there. I would love to see a Buffalo-Baltimore-Detroit Super Bowl matchup. The other thing is, you know, Matthew Stafford is a seasoned veteran, and there's another opportunity where he can block Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions from getting to the Super Bowl. Never underestimate that old, wise quarterback that has found ways to do it. And, you know, I know the game well, and I really feel like that game's going to be a lot closer than people think, given the weather and everything along those lines. But I don't underestimate C.J. Stroud. I think he's the real deal. He's going to be in the league for a long time. And Joe Mixon and Nico Collins, that's all I got to say. Keith, I hope you have a great night. I love listening to you in this time slot. I'll hang up and hear you.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate the compliments as well. I mean, a few things. You know, when you mentioned that you wish the championship game was the Ravens and Bills, I think the NFL is really going to consider changing the format. I think that they, you know, the conversations that have come up just in the last few days and after this last wild card, right? It was Super Wild Card Weekend. Now it's just Wild Card Weekend again. I had something that NFL on CBS put out. It said the NFL will consider possibly changing playoff seeding format in the offseason. The top four teams by win percentage would get a home game as opposed to the division winners. So instead of the Bucks getting to host that game or a team like the Minnesota Vikings winning 14 games and having to go on the road, and I mean, L.A. not even being able to play at home, them having to play in Arizona, which was like a bowl game setup, a neutral site. They're trying to change it to the top four teams by win percentage to get the home games, and I'm kind of with that, man. It's kind of crazy to win all those games, and because you're the wild card in the NFC, like a Bucks team gets to host a game, and then they lose to Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. Commanders themselves deserve respect. They won 12 games. But, yeah, I think they might want to look towards, like, just top seeds, best records. Those teams get the home games. As far as the Texans beating the Chiefs, I don't see it, man. Fool me, can't fool me again. The Chiefs are looking for their third Super Bowl in a row. And every single year we do this. Every single year we want to underestimate Patrick Mahomes, who is a dog all the way. Like, who is like, when it comes time to compete, when it comes time to win, he's finding a way. We also underestimate Andy Reid. Like I said, Andy Reid is diabolical. You are going to see some different formations, some motions, some different personnel, some things that you might not have seen all season. The Texans can't prepare for the Chiefs. They're going to give them looks that they've never seen. And they have the skills and they have the talent. The Texans, yes, you mentioned Nico Collins. Trent McDuffie, he didn't make all pro this year. And Trent McDuffie is one of the most underrated players in football. He's a dog. He's one of the reasons why they are where they are. Like, Trent McDuffie, he got drafted in 2022. He's been an AFC champion. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. Like, all he's done is go to Super Bowls and AFC championships and put rings on his fingers and rack up accolades. He was second-team All-Pro, not first-team. I think he's going to take that personally. And if they're sicking him on Nico Collins, I don't know if Nico Collins is dominating out there in Arrowhead. It is the loudest stadium. Those fans are very used to this weather. They will get hypothermia over it. They will spend all day out there. I got to tip my cap to Spags. Chris Jones also on that defense. They're expecting it to be below freezing, 25 degrees out there. I just don't see that Texans offense, how slow they started last week, right? They needed a prayer. That ball that got past C.J. Stroud, he just made a hell of a play. They needed a prayer to get going. Mixon is banged up. They also are going to be potentially without the safety that got suspended for the hit on Trevor Lawrence. Al-Shaair? Yeah, Azeez Al-Shaair. He's got a knee. He's questionable. There's going to be some weaknesses there. And I think that they were just happy to get a win at home in a dome. It is a different monster going out to Arrowhead to face the defending two-time champions with Hall of Famers, a Hall of Fame coach, and guys that have done it. This is their time of the year. They don't care about the regular season. It's winning time. The Chiefs know they're two wins away from going back to the Super Bowl. 888-808-1019. Keep McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, we're back. I got about 2 hours, so let's continue on the football conversation, but I see some Yankee fans on the line. Whenever you want to talk Yankees, I'm down for it. Keep McPherson on The Fan. Got the Knicks game on in here. The Knicks are down 9. It's 60-51 in the Garden. The Minnesota Timberwolves are back. Julius Randle. No Karl-Anthony Towns tonight. 888-808-1019. A thought that I just had, and I'm live on Instagram, at Keith McPherson, talking to people in the live chat during the break. Yo, Keith, watching you from Jamaica. Jamaica, Jamaica. Shout out to you in the chat. I said if I had to put a parlay together, money line, right now I'm going Chiefs, Lions, Eagles, Bills. And you know you got to try and find the one upset, but I don't know if there's an upset here. Now, the Bills technically would be an upset because Baltimore is getting 1.5, but that's a pick'em, man. That line has been moving. That line has been at 1, 1.5. I think when it first opened, it might have been Buffalo. I don't see any way that the Texans go in there and beat the Chiefs. I don't see it. I don't see it. And you don't need to see it. The Commanders, and this is what I'll say about the Commanders before we get back to the calls at 888-808-1019. I mean, the Commanders played the Bucs. And last year, the Bucs got the Eagles, and the Eagles were in a free fall. But like a couple years before that, with Tom Brady and the Bucs, right? The Dallas Cowboys beat the Bucs. The Bucs come out of the softest division, and they're just like, I can't look at the Bucs and Jaden Daniels. I think I called that, right? I think last week when I was on, I was like, Jaden Daniels will find a way because Jaden Daniels wins all his close games late. I don't think Detroit lets it be a close game late unless Riverboat Dan Campbell just has to go for it and puts himself in bad situations where they give the ball to Jaden Daniels on a short field. But I think it wears off. I think Aaron Glenn knows what to do against this young kid. There is a little bit of a book out on Jaden Daniels when you pressure him, but not just pressure him, when you hit his ass. You gotta hit him. You gotta hit him. He is very slim and slender. You gotta put a hit on this guy. Remember during the season when he had the rib injury? Remember during the season when they kind of faltered a little bit, when he wasn't 100%? He's been great. I love his game. I don't love the Commanders, though. I don't think that they have the defense to stop Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, the threat of David Montgomery coming back, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the home run potential of Jameson Williams, and then even what they can throw at you with a Tim Patrick or a change of pace with Khalif Raymond or Sam Laporta, or next thing you know, it's Brock Wright in there, or they're going tackle eligible. I think Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, there's a lot of talk about them being distracted with their coaching searches, I don't think those guys get distracted. I think that those guys are doing both, and they know from their experience last year, like, you can't get knocked out at home here and then go on to take a coaching job. I just don't see how the Lions, who needed the rest, who have been banged up all year, I don't see how the Lions lose to a Commanders team that really has come together for the first year under Dan Quinn. Jaden Daniels is amazing, but I think the hype is too much. They're saying he's the best rookie quarterback ever. They're talking about him getting to a Super Bowl. I think that all ends on Sunday night. Mario, Long Beach, back on the fan before we talk Yankees, and maybe you'll throw in a Yankee point as well. You're back on. What's up, Mario? You there? Am I not getting you? Are my headphones cutting out? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not hearing them. I'm gonna put you on hold, Mary. I'm not getting you in. I think my headphones might be short-circuiting a little bit here, which would be unfortunate. Let's try a Yankee call. Charlie in Queens on the fan. Are you there, Charlie?
How you doing, Keith?
Yeah, I got Charlie loud and clear. I'm good.
Okay. Bleacher creature to another bleacher creature.
Yes, sir.
I think the Yankees need a few more pieces, but they're building to beat the Dodgers. I don't think they're worried about other teams at this point. I'm not saying they're underestimating any team. It's their goal is to knock out the Dodgers.
I think it has to be. I think when you look at this American League, they figured they were all right in the American League. They're good in the American League. But the goal is to get back to the World Series and win it this year. And if it's potentially the Dodgers staring at them, how do they beat the Dodgers? How did the Dodgers beat them? And what did the Dodgers run around talking about? Their defense. We knew we just had to put the ball in play. So they've shored up the defense.
And the thing of Pete Alonso, what shocked me is Boris had Soto and Alonso as clients. Wouldn't you think you'd try to do a package deal while the guy's on a spending spree? Go, you know what? You also have Pete, who's one of my clients, and maybe you want to make a deal and do a double thing and bigger splash.
Nah. Unfortunately, the golden ticket was Juan Soto. He knew it. They knew it. We all knew it. The age, the profile, what Juan Soto has already done in his career. Like I said, we may never see another one. We may never see a guy hit free agency that young with that much talent, a World Series ring, multiple All-Stars, a batting title. Like we might not ever see that. So I think he knew there was no package deal. And we saw Scott Boras at Citi Field on stage during that press conference talking about the Supreme Court of Soto, talking about, you know, we don't talk about the bridesmaids and all these other quotables that you get from Scott Boras. There was nothing about Pete Alonso then. He couldn't help Pete Alonso. And Pete Alonso, not for nothing, didn't help himself. Thanks for the call, Charlie. Appreciate you. See you in 203. When I say Pete Alonso didn't help himself, when you go out and get Scott Boras, you are signaling to David Stearns, to Steve Cohen, to everyone that I'm trying to get top dollar and that I am betting on myself and I'm going to go out and prove what I'm worth. And then you know what? Baseball's Bond villain is going to go get it for me. Pete didn't prove it. He didn't do it. So congratulations, you played yourself. And like, yeah, I can lean into, come on, Steve, you got all this money or whatever, but you don't bid against yourself. There's no other market. Or there's no other offers for him. There is no market for him. So they weren't going to overextend and then take away money that could have stopped them from signing AJ Minter or Jesse Winker or whoever else they're going to go get next. You know, so there's no package deal. Boras deals with his clients individually. And unfortunately, Pete Alonso is now in this list of clients that thought that they were signing with Boras Corp to get the Gerrit Cole type of deal, Juan Soto type of deal. Those big deals are just not happening anymore. 888-808-1019. Something else that I had in my notes that I wanted to put out before, but we went to break. Talking about Matthew Stafford, talking about how he played in Ford Field in a dome, how he's played now in SoFi Stadium in a dome. He's 36 years old. He's the oldest quarterback left playing this weekend. WIP, our sister station down in Philadelphia, put out Matthew Stafford outdoors in the rain or snow numbers. Record, he's 1-8. He's got a 54.6 completion percentage. His touchdown to interceptions, 14 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. A 67 passer rating. He does not do well in the rain, snow, or elements. And as much as he was in there in the dome in Glendale, Arizona, in the beginning of the game, carving up Brian Flores' defense, they got some big boys up front for the Eagles. They have great guys in their secondary. I just don't know. It's hard for me to see. I will say this. Sean McVay, you give him a ton of credit. He's been to two Super Bowls. He won one. He gets a lot out of his guys. He's going to get the most out of his guys. They're motivated. Like I said, they were fired up over Dan Campbell saying, I'll see you in 2 weeks. And what do they know? We beat the Eagles. There's a good chance that we go to Ford Field, where Matthew Stafford started his career, and we get to face Dan Campbell and his team and see about that. But I look at the Eagles, man, the Philadelphia Eagles. A.J. Brown better have two books, one for the first half and the second half. If the elements are bad, I don't trust Jalen Hurts' arm, and I don't trust their play calling. I'd be handing the ball to Saquon. Saquon, take us home. Saquon, 30 carries. Saquon on first down, second down. Like, that. Why'd you get him? Why'd you go out and pay for Saquon Barkley for right now? For right now. Saquon Barkley sliding when he's about to hit a home run. No sliding, Saquon. Run the ball. That's somebody I might bet on this week if we're going to put bets together, right? Hopefully the numbers change because you can't bet anything on Saquon. You got to bet him to score 3 touchdowns and rush for 150 yards to make any money off the guy because he's just auto. But yeah, with what we know about Matthew Stafford in outdoor games, him being 36, Cooper Kupp being literally nothing now, not even being used, it's Puka Nacua, it's Kyren Williams, and maybe those tight ends. And I don't know, let me check the injury report. Because Tyler Higbee went out last week, and I got to get an update on him because he was cooking last week. I was like, oh, he's eating. If he didn't get hurt and they kept going, he would have had a 100-yard game, maybe 10 receptions. Let's see. Higbee carries no designation is good to go. So they're gonna try and probably feed him again, especially with some injuries to their linebackers. We'll see. I think it's going to be a good game. But if the elements come into play, and I hate this term, but everybody's using it now, a rock fight, I'm taking the Eagles in a rock fight. 888-808-1019. Back to the baseball conversation. I said I wanted to get some Yankee calls in as well. Freddie in the Jersey Shore area, you're on the Fan.
Keith, love what you're doing, man. Love the shows. I'm down here wishing for the weather to warm up so I can go to Max's and get a hot dog. I'm still crying about no Inkwell. You know what I mean? Yeah. Hey, do you remember the Man Piranha?
What, say it again. What is it called?
Mad Piranha. It was sort of located across with Pier Villages and between the other hot dog place. What's the other hot dog? The Windmill. On facing the ocean, it was a big old converted house. And they had aquariums and blacklight posters and funky. We used to go to the China Club in New York, come back late at night, go there and sort of veg out on the stuff they had. It was a great place.
I might have been too young. It might have been before my time. I might have been too young when that was a thing. But, of course, I know the Inkwell. Kids in my high school started going there in high school. And everybody knows Max's and Windmill and Brighton Ave and Pier Village.
My father was a friend of the original Max's, and they used to exchange cigars. They were big cigar fanatics. They had the little place on the boardwalk. It was just a glorious place. You know, it still is.
Give us five months. We'll be back active down there.
But look, ask around about the Mad Pirata. It might have been the late 1990s, early 2000s. It was it was a really cool place. Now, the Yankees, I'm so disgusted. You know, I think the Steinbrenners, we don't really care who owns the Yankees. It's not a terrorist. I think the Steinbrenners should sell. I mean, they're one of the few mom-pop, run teams left around. You have Cohen, you have the big conglomerates in Toronto and the Dodgers. You can't nickel and dime me. You can't be afraid to go way over the salary cap. You know, how you lose, by the way, the Dodgers thing, really, they get Roky for nothing. I mean, you know what I mean? The commission should have stepped in. They don't have to pay anything for this guy, even though they have the highest payroll. It's a joke. But you got to forget this. salary cap. You had to tell Boris, look, whatever they're going to pay Juan Soto, we'll go $2 million over. I don't care who it is. You cannot give up a Hall of Famer in his prime. Did they not make the team friendly enough? Is the franchise that friendly? People used to die to want to play for the Yankees. Now they walk away. Roky, anybody. You got to pay them extra to come to the Yankees. I'm a little disgusted.
Winning the World Series helps. Winning the World Series or even the thought of joining a team that you could win the World Series with helps.
Yes.
That allure has gone away. These Japanese players are not flocking to the Yankees.
Yeah.
And I understand what you're saying about Soto, but you can't.
Yeah.
There was no back and forth with Steve Cohen. If they wanted to take it into Monday morning, Steve Cohen would have been there with his hand up bidding another million more, another $5 million more. However, and like I said, the structure of that contract, the way that they structured that Juan Soto contract, the Yankees were not doing that. I just don't think they were ever winning the Juan Soto sweepstakes versus the Mets.
Well, the Yankees are the premier franchise in the whole world. The most revenue streams, you got to be able to get anybody. Boris Smith had an inside deal with Cohen. That's what I'm thinking. Something inside there, you know, he said, you know, I'm going to get him no matter what. I think it should be investigated. Because how do you walk away from the Yankees? I don't want to hear this stuff about he was a stone kid, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Soto is a stone cold killer. He did not care. And I can kind of appreciate that. Thanks for the call, Freddie. I'm trying to look that place up. Jersey Shore people call me up. Maybe it was before my time. Mad Pie Rattle, he was saying, in Long Branch? I've never been there. But I'll tell you this too, Freddie. The Yankees are never selling. Ever. Never. Never going to happen. Doesn't matter about Guggenheim in L.A. Doesn't matter about Steve Cohen and his investment money, billions. Like, they're never going to sell the team. And I also don't think with Brian Cashman at the helm, they're willing to go over that luxury tax and then help the, you know, you heard Randy Levine last year talking about, like, why should we do that and help the Tampa Bay Rays, the bum-ass Tampa Bay Rays that don't spend any money, and now they got to play their home games in our spring training park. They're paying us $15 million to use George F. Steinbrenner Field this year. 888-808-1019. We'll also mix the Knicks into the conversation. Football talk on a Football Friday. Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, whatever you want to do. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
Score!
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ever since I left the city, you. You and me, we just don't get along.
I even hear what you said, Paulie. Yeah. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Talking sports, watching the Knicks. The Knicks are trying to come back. The Knicks got to get it together. I had a take about the Knicks that I'm going to return to. My guy Alex Day showed up to Fanatics Fest. And Day kills it. Shout out to Day. I know he's going through some things because they're about to ban TikTok. I told y'all. I was never really worried about TikTok. My 4,000 followers on TikTok, they can have them. I'm live on Instagram right now. I'm approaching 22,000 followers on Instagram. I've been building Instagram since 2011. And I got almost 40,000 followers on Twitter. I've been building that since 2009. TikTok, y'all can ban it. Y'all can have it. But yeah, there was a TikTok, Instagram video that Alex Day and I did at Fanatics Fest. And, you know, he's a big Yankee fan. I'm a big Yankee fan. And he's like, yo, give me a Yankee take. Give me a Yankee take. I'm like, nah, no Yankee takes. I'm going to give you a Knicks take. And I was wearing a Drazen Petrovic jersey. So I had on my Nets stuff. And my take was the Knicks will never win a championship with this group. Not the NBA Finals, not the Eastern Conference Championship. Boy, did I get hated on. The Winter Mets. The Winter Mets fans were all in my comments, all adding me. This guy doesn't know ball. This guy's a stupid Nets fan. Is that Keith McPherson from The Fan? Pfft, look at his outfit. This guy's a clown, goofy. But if you listen to what I was putting down, I started with Brunson. You're not winning with a little point guard like that. We've already seen they have the formula for how to stop him, how to defend him. He'll get his once in a while when there's somebody that can't keep up with him, isn't long enough to defend him. But you're not winning with a little guy like that. You don't see it in the NBA. You don't see little point guards win. I loved Allen Iverson. Shout out to my Uncle Cyrus. I remember going to Philly to watch Iverson versus the Pistons back in 04, maybe 03. Never got it done. I also talked about how, and this was before Karl Anthony Towns got here, I talked about how this group is not winning without homegrown talent. It's not the Dodgers. It's not baseball. You can't just, you know, trade and buy players and stack the deck every time. And like NBA teams that win, they win with a core of players that they drafted. Go back and look at whoever you want. Look at the Celtics. I don't have to tell you the names of the players. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and then even their bench guys. The Knicks have no bench. So another thing I said, like, it's great to reunite the Villanova Wildcats, but this is not March Madness. This is the pros. This is the big time. And second round exits are cool until they're not. If the Knicks have another second round exit this year, the Knicks fans that have been so excited about the Knicks being competitive and the Knicks being back are going to start to sour on this team, this vision, as we're watching Julius Randle out on the floor, former Knick. And I had this take when the Knicks played against the Raptors the other night, and we saw RJ Barrett, IQ, two former homegrown Knicks that had made the playoffs that we thought might be in the plans to be here. They're just not winning with this group of Brunson, Hart, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, Karl Anthony Towns as their starting five. And even with just the minutes that they've logged now, they're not going to be able to beat the Celtics, the Cavs, and we'll see what other teams are there. As I say that, Josh Hart is down in pain. You can't afford to lose anybody else. They need the trade deadline. They need the All-Star break. There's only so much that these guys can do. Josh Hart should be a bench player. And, I mean, props to him. He goes hard, triple-double machine. He says the right things. He plays with the right energy. He should be coming off the bench. They need to make some moves for another big. Mitchell Robinson coming back is like, I don't know. Mitchell Robinson's hurt every year. I don't see it. So I'm not hating on the Knicks. They went on a great run last year. But the difference last year was, you know, it was similar as far as like not getting Julius Randle back. I remember I had to take that night when they beat the Kings that night. And I said they won't make the Eastern Conference Finals without Julius Randle. But I laid off the take because this is New York. Everybody loves the Knicks. Knicks been here 100 years. You can't say anything bad about the Knicks. Then you're definitely going to get some DMs. You're definitely going to get some negative comments talking about the Knicks. People feel some type of way. I had a caller the other night, last night, say, stop saying, you know, feel some type of way. What do you mean feel some type of way? When I say feel some type of way, it's not a positive way. When you hear me say feel some type of way, it's uncomfortable, uneasy. When you feel some type of way that you can't necessarily explain, but you don't like it, that's how you feel some type of way. 888-808-1019. Back to the conversation around the NFL and the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees. Timmy, out on Long Island on the Fan.
So, Keith, I just want to know your thoughts on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and how you think the Mets are going to do in those sweepstakes with him, if you think it's a possibility.
Man, I hate the guy, honestly. I was at the Yankee game where he hit three homers, and whenever he comes to Yankee Stadium, he thinks he's a star of the show. He goes out of his way to talk about the Yankees so much. I just think he's a cornball. I really don't think he's as great as all the Mets fans are making him seem right now. Like, you know, he's not Juan Soto. I don't like the guy, honestly. But as far as prospects for the Mets to land him, you're going to have to give up a ton to get him. And
yeah,
go on. I don't know if somebody in the background is chiming in or if that's you or what. Okay, he just dropped. I have it saved. I can always go back to my handy dandy notes on the iPhone Notes app and just search Vladdy. He says, I like to play in New York. I like to kill the Yankees. I would never sign with the Yankees, not even dead. Vladdy. When do you kill the Yankees? You might. I was at the game where you hit the three homers, and I was screaming, stop pitching to him. He can't beat us on his own. But you don't. The Blue Jays are frauds. They don't kill the Yankees. They don't beat the Yankees. They made the postseason once and got dusted 2 years ago. Like, I would never sign with the Yankees. We're not trying to sign you. We're not going to offer you anything. It makes sense why, you know, all the hype for him to be a Met.
you feel some type of way about Vladdy. That's what this is about, Keith.
I do.
You feel some type of way. Because it's another top-tier player who has no interest in going to the Yankees anymore.
And that makes you
feel some type of way. And it makes all Yankee fans feel, because they're not used to this.
I don't want him. Munetaka Murakami. Or I guess we can't get him now because he's already signed and sealed with the Dodgers.
Sorry, buddy.
I'm not even joking. Like, he might be. There was a picture that came out of him recently. He had the Dodgers hat with the upside down LA. I'm like, they already converted him. He's going to the Dodgers.
The only thing that's under... Listen, I think every fan base should aspire that their team should run their team like the Dodgers do, because I think it's genius what they're doing.
I am envious.
And so am I. I'm a Met fan, and you're a Yankee fan, and we're both envious of how the Dodgers run their organization. That being said, it does seem a little unfair, the unfiltered pipeline they have to the Japanese game right now. And not every Japanese player is good. Let's get that clear. Not everyone's automatically going to be an all-star.
I think the Orioles signed some 35-year-old Japanese pitcher.
I mean, the Mets get Kaz Matsui. I mean, what's going on?
The Red Sox got... It doesn't matter. 888-808-1019. I got an hour and a half. Please call up. I'll be right back.